What's Up Fandom Night, episode 14, Holidays Review.
What's up, everybody? This is your old pal Cesario Level here, and I literally just got done watching a brand new horror film. Now, the sound that you heard is my notepad, because there are a couple notes I had on this. I don't want to say it's a full review, it's more my thoughts on the movie, but at the same time, knowing me, I'm probably going to go into a review. So, anybody who would like to dispute the information that I give you, you can feel free by listening to Bill as he gives you the contact information, well, here in 2 seconds.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone.
Alright, so I just got done watching, literally just got done watching the brand new movie that's out called Holidays. It's an independent horror film done by essentially a bunch of different directors. It's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 short films all slapped together. Now, because they're short films, of course, each segment only gets X amount of time. But at the same time, even though each segment only gets X amount of time, they have to go through and essentially give you a horror story, like, almost instantly. Like, essentially it'd be about the exact same time and length as watching an episode of The Twilight Zone with no commercials. So if you have, like, a DVD of it, or you can get on Netflix, or get it any VOD type of style, which is essentially how I watched this movie. I downloaded it off of my cell phone via the Google Play Store, and I gotta say, it's a pretty good movie. The only problem I had with it was the fact that it stopped at one point in time, but I think that's a matter of my phone, because once again, I have no internet, I'm just running off of 4G. So watching this movie, standard def, using just 4G, streaming it off my cell phone, it was still pretty fucking pimp. And mind you, my cell phone's busted, and there's like a crack at the bottom of the screen, so there's like a bright white light that flashes that I had to hold my finger over, so that way then it wouldn't, damn, that pizza's coming back to bite me. Anyway, I had to hold my finger over the screen at that point, because there's a lot of times where there's dark moments in the film, and there's dark moments in the film, but I mean, like, lighting-wise, it gets dark, because of course it's a horror film, well, a collection of short horror stories, essentially, but, like I said, it was still pretty goddamn decent. Now, to give you a little bit of background on myself when it comes to horror movies, let's just say I'm a fan. The whole reason why we even did, well, why we were working on the old monster fights, which is the reason why we finally got it done in one long podcast format, was Bill and I are actually fans of horror movies. Like, I like all the old stuff, I like all the new stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, when it comes down to the new stuff, the found footage seems ridiculous, and I feel the exact same way that stand-up comedian, who now is essentially more of a director, Bobcat Goldthwait, you know, the old guy, that dude, still a brilliant, funny comic, because he's more of like a punk rock, you know, do stuff and hopefully people laugh, you know, if anything, I get a laugh out of it. You know, like, he's his own biggest fan. So, like, I appreciate that because, of course, I'm one of our biggest fans. But he said it best when it comes down to found footage. What kind of asshole ran around and found all these cameras, saw all the horrific, violent footage that was on them, and decided, you know what, this will make a great movie, let's cut it together. So he actually has made his own horror movie, a couple of them, actually. And most of the edits actually come in camera, which makes more sense when it comes down to the found footage bullshit like Blair Witch or any of these stupid hauntings of or paranormal activity or any of that shit that just, it seems so fucking useless and stupid like Cloverfield. And mind you, I'm coming from a background of the original black and white Frankenstein, Bela Lugosi's Dracula, the Christopher Lee Dracula are fucking amazing. Romero's Dawn of the Dead, fucking just Night of the Living Dead, Return of the Living Dead. I have seen a lot, I mean a good chunk of the old school horror, like legit straight horror movies. I've also watched a shit ton of the slashers. I've seen every Halloween, I've seen every Friday the 13th, and dear God, there's a lot of them. Evil Dead is still one of my favorite horror movies, yes, the original Evil Dead, because you get to Evil Dead 2, and it's a mixture of comedy and horror, so that way then they can remove the NC-17 rating off of it, and thus market it towards more people, which then leads into Army of Darkness, which is just straight comedy. They knew exactly what their base audience was, which was people who loved Evil Dead and the character of Ashley J. Williams. I still have yet to see the new one, sadly, which the only reason why I haven't gone out of my way to do it is because I keep forgetting it exists, sadly. Like, I've heard mixed reviews on it, but at the same time, again, as a horror fan, I want to see it. I've seen every Child's Play slash Chucky movie, except for Part 2, which still makes no sense to me. I saw one, somehow skipped 2, and then watched 2, what is it, Chucky's Revenge or whatever, the one where his Jennifer Tilly ends up sewing the Chucky doll back together. Or no, that's Bride of Chucky, excuse me. So yeah, that's not Revenge, but anyway, Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, and then there's the new one that, once again, I skipped, but, that one kind of gets old. I've seen, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I've saw the remake, you know, Cabin in the Woods, different horror films like that. Like, when it comes down to horror films, the more blood and the more guts there are, the better it is when it comes right down to it for me. But at the same time, I've been a fat kid my entire life. Like, excuse me. I've been the social outcast. Like, I literally have had, throughout the entire course of my life, literally a handful of friends. Because that's how much of a, like, outcast loner I've been my entire life. So when it comes right down to it, like, loving horror movies for me, it comes down to a matter of, and Bill's even brought up the question with us before, and I'm not sure if it's in one of the old podcasts that you guys may never get to hear, or if he's going to re-release it, but, excuse me one second, I need my cancer so I can be like Vincent Price and smoke while I talk to you. Wow, that's an old fucking reference. Anyway, The question is posed, when watching a horror movie, who is your favorite character? Now, I'll give everybody a minute to think about it. You got your answer? Okay. Now, think about it. Who is your favorite character? It's Jason. It's Freddy. Might be Chucky. Meh. You might be like me, and one of my favorites is a guy by the name of Leslie Vernon, because there's a movie called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, which it's actually, it starts out as a mockumentary, because it's an indie film, it starts off as a mockumentary where this guy is supposed to be like the next big serial killer, and they act like all the other movies are like legit real life, like they play around in that universe, where all the slashers have gone off on killing sprees, and it's been so long that a lot of them have retired, and they're done with the killing game. So he's going to try to rise up, this character named Leslie, he's going to rise up and become the new slasher, like one of the new big guns. And it's actually a really great movie, because like I said, up until like the third act, when they finally drop the, you know, this is a documentary bullshit, and they go to, like, the actual horror, Oh, man, it gets so fucking good. Because they literally explain the entire movie to you throughout the throughout the entire movie. And then at the last end, they're like the ass end of it, they're just like, here's the monkey wrench and the cogs. Deal with it. But like I said, most people, they root for the killer. Very rarely do you ever root for the hero. I mean, there actually have been rare instances where I've rooted for the hero, but generally speaking, it's not because I want them to get out alive. It more comes down to a matter of, like, they've done something worthwhile to actually, like, make me feel like, all right, you allow to live in this movie. Everybody else, for being such a fuckbag, like, cliche jock, or, you know, the fucking frat boy, or the party girl, or the preppy cunt that I hate so much, and from high school and shit, and like, all that shit just, like I said, you always end up finding that one badass dude. Like, in the remake of Halloween, the Rob Zombie remake, there's that one badass dude that literally could have taken down Michael Myers on his own, and I was like, dude, this guy deserves to fucking live! And then all of a sudden, like, some shit goes down and he's dead, and I'm like, motherfucker, he would have been the coolest dude to ever get the fuck away with this. Like, surviving in a horror movie, I would have fucking let him do it. But, again, to go into the full review, even though I said it's not so much a review, it's my thoughts on it. Sorry, talking too much. My cigarette almost went out. And again, children, tobacco is bad. Do not do it. As you can tell, it's destroying my voice and lungs, and that sucks, because that means I can't go do karaoke anymore. But there's essentially 8 of them. There's a Valentine's Day episode, there's a St. Patrick's Day portion of it, there's an Easter portion, there's a Mother's Day, a Father's Day, a Halloween, a Christmas, and a New Year's. Now, each one of these follows a theme, not so much with the holiday, because of course that's implied, it's about the holidays. But there's a theme to each portion of it. Like, I'm not going to spoil any of this for anybody, but the Valentine's Day one is about a girl, in which the girl happens to be a part of a swim team. Now, she has a crush on her swim coach, because, of course, it's high school, and, you know, they just want to throw out some crap like that, which the guy, like, I will be the first to admit, if a dude is good-looking, because, again, I'm okay with that type of shit. Like, I could tell you if a dude's good-looking, just like there's girls out there who could tell you if a girl's actually kind of good-looking. But when it comes right down to this, and my apologies if this starts to sound weird, I gotta shift my body for a second. Becoming an old man and my knees aren't quite taking it, well, good. But she's kind of got a crush on the swim coach. She goes up the ladder to get on the diving board, and of course part of training for diving is you're supposed to dive to the bottom of the pool and pick up a brick from off the bottom of the pool. After you pick up the brick off the bottom of the pool and retrieve it, you know, that means that you've done the dive properly, because in order to get from the high dive to the bottom of the pool, you have to have so much momentum. At the same time, you also have to have perfect form. The form will allow you to actually sink down to the bottom of the pool, float across to where the brick is, kind of even yourself out, kind of near the bottom without killing yourself, pick it up and go. Now, the girl's being made fun of by the 6 other preppy bitches, I think is what it is. Regardless, there's like the lead preppy cunt, and then like all of her little lackeys that are on the team. Now, this girl clearly could have been like a cheerleader, but decided that she wanted to be on the swim team, because apparently the swim coach is some sort of hotness, even though, no offense to the actor, not really. Now, sorry. I'm going to end up like the swim coach. Because the swim coach is dealing with the fact of it's Valentine's Day. His wife wants to wait till Friday night before they go out on a Valentine's Day dinner thing. He's like, no, I can't go out Friday night. The girls are putting on a talent show because, you know, they're putting on the talent show to, like, help raise money for the swim team. So he's like, I'm not going to screw them over. They, you know, they put in hard work, blah, 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 and they have an argument. Well, after he gets off the phone with his wife, he's filling out a Valentine's Day card for one of the other girls for essentially putting on the show in the first place. Now, he walks away and overhears the girl that he's filling out the Valentine's Day card for not only berate and belittle this other girl, but pretty much make fun of the fact that her father had killed himself. And the coach is like, no, fuck that. This girl's already an outcast. She doesn't need any more bullshit. Fuck it. So he goes back in and he changes the name from the other girl to her. Especially seeing as how the girl that is even putting on the talent show even admitted that the only reason why she's doing it is to get into the coach's pants. Now, on the coach's desk, there's a note stating that he's essentially going to die. His heart is failing, which means that he's not getting as much blood needed, because he kind of walks off after saving the protagonist, essentially, because the bitch girl ends up shoving her off the diving board because she doesn't want to dive. So he goes down and saves her, and then like he kind of is like weak, kind of like, it's not so much like he can't breathe, but he starts kind of clutching at his chest a little bit and walks away. Now, the note on the desk says that, you know, he's way far down the list for an organ donor transplant for a new heart. At the same time, they're also having trouble finding a heart for him. Or at least, you know, one that's a match. So, like I said, I'm not going to spoil it, but some shit goes down, and yeah, you can make assumptions from there. The way everything goes down, though, is probably a little bit more different than you're thinking. But, yeah, some shit goes down, and it's definitely a good way to kick off the movie if you're a horror fan like I am. Or at least a slasher fan like I am. Now, the next part... Sorry again, needed to shift. Is the St. Patrick's Day episode. And it goes to a classroom in Ireland, where the teacher's teaching a bunch of kids, but she's teaching the way the most lazy teachers do on a holiday. She literally pops in a movie, has them watch a movie, because it's a Christian school, so of course they're talking about St. Patrick and how St. Patrick banished the snakes from Ireland. Now, when St. Patrick had banished the snakes from Ireland, that's actually a euphemism. There were no snakes on Ireland that needed to be banished. Essentially what it means is St. Patrick took up the cause of Christianity and got rid of every single pagan off of Ireland. Now, here's the problem with that. While possibly historically accurate at the time, because it wasn't quite a crusade, but it was essentially a push for Christianity on Ireland instead of the traditional pagan routes like the Wiccans and the Druids and basically every other major religion from the time before Christianity took hold as a powerhouse. Yeah, it's still kind of rampant in Ireland, no matter what anybody says. They're actually, while yes, there are a large number of Christians on the Emerald Isle, there are also just as many pagans who still believe in the old traditions. Just like over here in America, even though people claim it to be a Christian nation, technically, no, it's not. There's just as many Christians as there are basically every other religion on the face of the planet, other than like your small-time stuff like Dudism, which Dudism is essentially an off-branch of Buddhism, but essentially they follow the way of the dude from The Big Lebowski, so if you're having troubles in life, go bowling, and make sure you keep that rug because it ties the room together. That's actually not a joke. There's actually the Jedi religion, which is kind of the same thing. There's literally hundreds of thousands of other religions, because so long as you go to a website for the government, fill out what your religion is about, and pay the money to have yourself considered an actual religion, you can literally get a tax exemption for it. Your house, your property, everything. So remember that next time you have to file your taxes, kids, seeing as how tax season just came and went again. Turn it into some form of a religious thing, and you can get a tax break for it. But anyway, enough about religion and how much I hate the fact that people forgot the point of religion. So they're in a Christian school. The teacher's showing the video on St. Patrick, and one of the girls is kind of irritated. Now, you come to find out that the little girl is literally brand new. Like, she's only been in town for a couple weeks type of thing. And the teacher's sitting up at her desk grading papers and shit and not even giving a fuck. Well, the little girl sees the teacher at, like, I want to say, like, playground time, essentially. Like, I can't remember what we used to call it. But it's supposed to be that, like, before lunch, if not after lunch, like, you go out in grade school, and the teachers are like, go nuts, go swing on the swings, go slide on the slides, climb on the monkey bars, play basketball, do fucking something, get out of our hair so we can go eat our lunch and do whatever the fuck it is that we need to do, have a cigarette, whatever's necessary to continue dealing with all of you psychotic children. Because believe me, I spent a lot of time after school because my grandmother used to be the secretary of my grade school, and I know how the teachers are. A lot of them are actually really cool. But most of them really do hate your guts. That's not even a joke. But it comes down to a matter of the bad kids being bad and the parents being assholes. That aside, the teacher goes out, the girl's sitting down at recess time. And, damn it. Sorry, cigarette's going out. Can't have that. So, the teacher rings the bell for lunch and looks up and sees a mother holding a kid. And the little girl sees the teacher, like, staring at the mother and child almost wistfully because, you know, the teacher's never had a kid of her own and that's pretty much all she wants in life. You know, there's that section of a midlife crisis for women's. You know, I'm not trying to make any judgments or assumptions on that portion. I'm just saying that shit happens. Much like how there's guys that flip the fuck out because they have a tiny dick, so they go out of their way to get a big car and, you know, essentially use the system to their advantage at work to try to climb up the corporate ladder so they can get more money to get the big car, the big house, everything's got to be big and brand new and shiny, and the second it goes out of date, so after 2 weeks of owning it, they get rid of it as quickly as possible for basically as much money as they paid for it so they could turn around and buy the next big new thing. Because they have a tiny old thing. But enough about tiny dick syndrome and how, yes, I have a tiny cock, but I don't have TDS. So, the girl essentially puts a curse on her because she is one of the pagans that St. Patrick had supposedly removed from Ireland, to put it simply. And the curse kind of gets a little, how should I say it? Odd. Like I said, I'm trying to go spoiler-free here. I'm just trying to give you the basis of what happens, but yeah, like, this one's definitely weird. Like, even for me, like, I understood what they were going for. They were going for an old classic actual horror feel, something that inspired terror and fear within yourself. But at the same time, there's kind of like this weird mismatch that keeps going on with how they actually plan these out. And it kind of works and it kind of doesn't, but we'll move on to Easter. Because with Easter, it's a little girl and her mother in the little girl's bedroom, and the mom is tucking her in and being like, you know, good night, you know, tomorrow's Easter, make sure that you're in bed and asleep, because, you know, so long as you're in bed and asleep, the Easter Bunny will show up and leave you, you know, all sorts of candy and eggs and all sorts of shit, and we can go on an Easter egg hunt and dye eggs and do whatever else. And the little girl goes, Mommy, I'm scared. The mom goes, Why? You afraid you're going to have a nightmare? She goes, No, when I was in Sunday school today, they were telling me about how, or not Sunday school, when I was in church the other day, they were telling us about how there's a man that's supposed to be coming back from the dead. My mom goes, "What are you talking about? What do you mean a dead man? What? And the girl essentially goes, "Oh, well, you know, there's this Jesus guy who's coming back, and apparently he's coming back from the dead, and I don't want to get my brains eaten by a zombie." And the mom goes, "No, dear, it's nothing like that. Jesus lived, he died, he came back a couple days later, and after he came back a couple days later, and he's like, 'I'm back. By the way, I'll see you guys later.'" And literally, in front of a group of people, went up to heaven, which, I'm not gonna lie, depending upon which version of the Bible you read, that's actually kinda bullshit. Again, I'm not trying to be an asshole or nothing here, but there actually are 7 different versions of the Bible, depending upon which one you read. It has different stories within them. And yes, I said stories, because again, considering the fact that nobody can agree upon what happened other than Jesus died, buried in a cave, couple days later, he arose from the dead, and somehow upon arising from the dead, he went back to heaven, which means he had to die again. But it makes no sense to me, but whatever. Again, that's kind of my problem with religion, is a lot of it makes no sense. Even though everybody tells me, "Well, that's just because you gotta have faith." No, I'm a guy of science. I need evidence. I need people to back shit up for me. Very rarely do I take shit on face value, but at the same time, you guys know my friends. You listen to them talk to you every day. Everybody makes up as much bullshit or billshit, depending upon who you're talking to, on a day-to-day basis. So it's kind of hard for me to trust people sometimes when they're telling me shit that they can't really back up. So essentially she goes into the whole, you know, the Easter Bunny is completely different from Jesus, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the little girl's like, "Well, but isn't the Easter Bunny dead too? Because, you know, they both show up at Easter." And the mom's like, "Look, I can't explain it. Which I can explain it to you, but I'll save you guys the grief." She goes, the mom goes, "I can't explain it, I can't explain it right now, just I'm gonna count to 3, close your eyes, go to sleep." And the little girl goes, "Well, but what happens if I wake up in the middle of the night to get a glass of water?" And the mom goes, "Just go get your glass of water and make sure you go right back to bed. Just go to sleep." So the little girl goes to bed, and the mom goes and sits down on her bed and does some weird shit that makes you think that mommy's gonna rub one out before she goes to bed. And of course the little girl has to get up to get a drink, and I'm not gonna spoil the rest of it, but essentially it's every mother's fear. Now, like I said, there's been a theme so far. The first is, of course, with Valentine's Day. There's the theme of don't be a dick to people. They bully the girl and some bad shit happens to them. Again, not the way that you're thinking, probably, but some bad shit happens. St. Patrick's Day. The woman wants to have a kid. Well, she has a kid, but it's not quite the way she wanted it. With Easter, again, it's, you know, every parent's fear something happens to their kid. And again, I'm not going to tell you what happens, but some shit goes down. The next is, Mother's Day, and, oh, that's right, that's why Mother's Day escaped me. It was fucking ridiculous. Mother's Day is one of the few ones in the movie that I'll tell you guys to skip, because it makes no sense. A woman goes to a Planned Parenthood-type clinic to essentially get her... Okay, she's pregnant, she wants to get the fetus aborted. Because I don't understand why. According to her, every time she has sex, she gets pregnant. So, like, she's super fertile. That and her husband must have the mighty Y boner to constantly be getting her pregnant. But, like, they try to make it out like it's some weird household thing where, like, she's kind of afraid of her husband, but at the same time, like, she's still with him. So it's like an abusive relationship type of thing. Like, she doesn't really give that information at the time when she's talking to the doctors, and they don't really show it that well, but at the same time, I kind of wasn't paying attention, because at this point, the guys decided that they finally wanted to get back a hold of me when it came to talking to comic books, which I got a few I gotta read tonight now, but like I said, I must have missed that part, but like I said, the only thing I can gather is it's clearly gotta be like an abusive relationship or something, but She's, like, extremely fertile, and every time she has sex, she gets pregnant, and she doesn't want to be pregnant, so she keeps going to the doctors, being like, tie my tubes, I don't want to have any fucking kids with this guy, you know, just do whatever you can, as soon as I can pick up my balls and actually, you know, get a divorce from this guy, or whatever the fuck is going on, I'll do it. But the doctor ends up giving her the number of her sister. In which her sister essentially does a fertility ritual. Okay. They do a fertility ritual where you essentially drink peyote water. So you go up, you trip balls, and there's a fertility ritual. Now, even though when it comes to philosophy, I'm a deist, I am also a practicing Wiccan. And while, yes, there are fertility rituals for many, 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 many different religions, I am not quite sure what the fuck is going on with this fertility ritual. Because they go up into the middle of the mountains, in the middle of the desert, so when they can drink peyote water, all the women who are trying to get pregnant, even though this woman isn't trying to get pregnant, so she's participating in a fertility ritual... Makes no fucking sense to me. She was supposed to essentially just go up and be like, look, I'm super fertile. I don't want to have any more kids. Is there any way that you can keep me from having kids? While she's at a fucking fertility ritual to make sure that she can have a fucking kid. I'm smart. Or excuse me. I'm smart. Anyway. So... She goes up, everybody gets naked, gets in this giant, like, natural hot spring type of, like, a pool that they make. And the old woman, who's essentially supposed to represent, what is it? I want to say it's supposed to be, like, a Native American type of ritual mixed with, like, something else. But again, I know Native American rituals, and that isn't fucking it. And I know Wiccan rituals, and that isn't fucking it. And I know Druid rituals, and that isn't fucking it. And I know Celtic rituals, and none of that shit's in it either. So, again, when it comes right down to it, I have no idea what the fuck is going on. So, clearly, whoever fucking wrote this is not a part of any of the religions that are apparently trying to be depicted here. Excuse me. My dirty habit again. So, she joins in the ritual, everybody gets naked, gets in this tub, they drink the peyote water before getting in, while all of the women that are supposed to be participating in the fertility ritual get naked. The old crone gets naked, gets in with her, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, that's actually the title. She's supposed to be the, quote, wise woman, aka the old crone. Again, I'm not being disrespectful to the woman if you understand that that's an actual term. Now, part of the ritual, she's supposed to walk up, put her hands on the woman's crotch, and whisper something into her ear about how it's, you know, all going to be good and you're going to have a kid. Well, it comes down to the woman who doesn't want to have a kid but is participating in the fertility ritual. When the old woman puts her hand on her puss, she starts flipping tits. While she's trying to be, like, while the old woman's pretty much telling her, oh, you're getting pregnant tonight, bitch. So some shit goes down. Apparently the peyote isn't really peyote. It's like some sort of, like, synthetic drug that they're constantly pumping into their food. And into the water. This, like, big burly dude shows up and, like, ends up fucking all of the women. And that's essentially how they're supposed to get fertile. They're supposed to take so much hallucinogenics that, quite literally, they don't have any recollection of this dude fucking them. If they do, they assume it's a dream of, quote, God or a god, the fertility god, coming down and impregnating them so they can go back home to their spouses and happily have a child together. Well, some shit goes down, you come to find out that the doctor's in on it, and, yeah, that's basically it. Like I said, I'm not gonna spoil the shit here, but like I said, it's one of those weird ones in there. And I suppose if you're a woman who's 24, like this woman is, and you're not ready for the family, like you're really not, you're not purposely going out of your way to have a family, you're just trying to live life. Because there are people out there who are like that. They don't want to have a family. You know, they're going to wait until they're either in a better place or they're just never going to have kids. So that might be part of their fear, is the person who doesn't want a family, who all of a sudden now they have a family. Okay. Well, now we move to the Father's Day episode. And this one everybody can understand because essentially it's about loss. This woman comes home. There's a mysterious package on the front door addressed to her. It's like literal, like, generic, almost like butcher's paper, like brown butcher's paper wrapped in some twine. She opens it up, and it's literally an old-school tape player. Not a joke. Old-school. Like, we're talking, like, back in the days when home audio recording was available. Because it's a home audio recording of her father essentially telling the girl that he's sorry that he had to leave her behind. Her mother had lied to her. He didn't want to leave her behind, but he had to because he had to go see this man, and the man was going to change his life forever. Now, because he needed to go see the man so his life could be changed forever, he had to leave the entire family behind. Even though he wanted to take the daughter with him, he couldn't. So he left the tape recorder with a bunch of, quote, friends, and told them explicitly to watch over his daughter until she is ready, both physically and psychologically, so she can go and be with the father. The father can't do it himself. He needs others to do it for her. Or for him, excuse me. So she listens to the tape one night, at, you know, after she gets home and sees the package, and after she's had dinner and sat around watching a movie and she starts to get bored with it, she's like, okay, so what's this package? So she opens it up, sees the tape recorder, forgets that she needs batteries for it, because like a fucking moron, everything back then needed batteries, and we're all so fucking spoiled with the fact that I can have my phone and plug it into an electrical outlet, and oh my god, it's charged! Most people forget about those things called batteries that you needed to do everything electronic that wasn't plugged into the wall like a television or a radio. Yes, I know, Grandpa showing his age again, don't worry. Grandpa Sario will fucking teach you young little shits about everything one of these days. But, god damn it. I keep talking so much my cigarettes are going out. I can't smoke and talk at the same time if I don't have a smoke. And again, children, remember, drugs are bad, okay? And yes, nicotine is a drug, much like caffeine is, even though caffeine is marketed towards everybody, and nicotine is marketed towards those of us dumb enough to do it. Now then, moving along. So she listens to the tape, balls her eyes out, calls her mom, cusses her mom out, flips it over to the B-side, because yes, back in the day, you could record on both sides of a cassette tape. It's called an A-side and a B-side. And the A-side was usually all of the, you know, the main portions of a song. So take your normal CD. The A-side would be all of the hits that you would hear on the radio. And the B-side would be all the shit for just the fans to listen to. Which is funny because a lot of the B-sides ended up actually being, like, big hits later on. Because you really could only get an A-side and a B-side. Unless you had an 8-track and then you only had one continuous thing and you couldn't fast forward or rewind. You had to wait till it got to the end to rewind it to get back to the very first song, which is the only song you wanted to hear off the 8-track. Whereas now you have a CD. Oh, well, track number 2 is the only one I want to listen to, so let's listen to song number 2 by Blur. Because that's the only one I want to fucking listen to. Fuck the rest of that album. Not saying anything about the album, I'm just saying we're spoiled-ass pricks. And hell, even then, nowadays, you Shazam some shit and you only have that song. Regardless, moving along. Grandpa's done bitching. So, she listens to the B-side, and the B-side is instructions on how to follow her, or how to get to her father. And again, I'm not going to go any further into it because it pretty much ruins the entire rest of the story. But again, like I said, it's about loss. And sadly, you would almost do the exact same thing if you were in that circumstance, regardless of how terrible it is. Especially if there's a chance to get back one of your loved ones that you missed dearly. Now, the next one, like I said, is Halloween. And Halloween is fucking amazing. Now, I've heard about the Halloween episode several times because the Halloween episode was written and directed by Kevin Smith. Now, for those of you who are not Kevin Smith fans and are immediately going to shit on this portion of it, let me stop you right there and say, I told you to skip Mother's Day. I'm not going to tell you to skip Halloween because Halloween is, oh my god, awesome. It starts off with a dude in a supermarket who's talking on the phone and he's shopping. And while he's talking on the phone, he's essentially talking to people who have answered a Craigslist-esque job listing. Now, the job listing is for any woman of moderate attractiveness and decent age to come out to Hollywood, live in this dude's apartment. Technically, it's a house, but he's subletting it as apartments, and be a cam girl. Now, for those of you who aren't in the know, who have girlfriends, spouses, boyfriends, what have you, and fell out of the porno game, a cam girl is essentially somebody who gets on a live camera chat via the internet. They get nude, so long as you pay them money, and after they pay you, or after you pay them the money for them to get nude, you get your own private, you call it type of porno show. Whatever kind of stuff you're into, if you pay the right amount, the girl will do it. Now, again, a lot of them have very strict codes on what you can and cannot do because they're not into it, or they're really into it, so they're really going to push that. But, again, you pay your money, and the customer is always right, which is a bunch of bullshit so that people can get their fucking way. I worked retail. I'm sorry I have to throw that out there. Anybody else who's ever worked in retail knows that that's the truth. The customer is not always right. The customer is an asshole who wants their way. That's why they bring up the customer is always right. Bullshit. And my apologies for emphasizing the T's there. That's just kind of what I do when I get on a subject I really want to talk about. Especially if it pisses me off. But anyway. So, dude's essentially a sleazy cam whore, essentially. He wants to act like he manages all these cam girls, and he keeps conning girls into, like, showing up to be cam girls. Now, there's two cam girls already at home sitting on the couch. One of them's cleaning out a, what is it? It's a toaster oven. Because, I guess, douchebag spilled shit on it and it got dirty, so it's her job to fucking clean it out, even though it's her job to also be on cam and showing her boobies to guys for money. So, the other girl is sitting there with her, and, you know, they're sitting around watching TV and shit, and it's one of those, like, fake-ass, old-school from the 70s type of Halloween special. Like, the animation looks weak as shit. So, one of the other girls who's putting on a cam show comes out wearing like a little Bo Peep outfit and is crying because one of the guys, he essentially was having a good time, and then at the very end before he logged out, he was like, ha ha, you dirty nasty skank, I recorded this entire thing and I'm going to put it up on the internet for free. Fuck you, take my money, I don't give a fuck, everybody else is going to have fun with this because you're nothing but a dirty whore type of thing. So she comes out crying because the dude called her a whore. Meanwhile, the guy has been telling the girls when he's lying to them, saying that it's good money. Which, don't get me wrong, it's decent money, but when you're working for some side sleazebag and not actually doing the shit yourself, there's really no money involved. But again, regardless, that's just kind of me throwing in my own two cents into things. But like I said, So dude finally comes home and he's freaking out because none of the girls are sitting on the webcam making him, quote, money. Because they even bring up the valid point, it's Halloween and there's really nobody sitting around jerking their pud. There's parties galore, so everybody and their brother, who doesn't have a woman or a man, is at a party trying to get drunk so they can get themselves some. Because let's face it, most major holidays, aside from Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and definitely Valentine's Day. So that leaves us with St. Paddy's Day, Halloween, Christmas, and New Year's. A lot of it's drinking holidays. Now, don't get me wrong, Christmas, you have your family. But for lonely people who don't really give a shit about their family, it's a drinking holiday. And again, that's more insight into my own personal life, but I'm going to leave that alone. Sorry, needed a drink. And again, I'm not saying that I don't love my family. I'm just saying it's my family. I can't stand them sometimes. Especially when all of us are gathered together in one house. People want to start killing other people. But then again, that's my family, and I'm not saying every other family's the same way. But most of you out there know, your family's kind of crazy. All of us have crazy people in our families. Especially that one crazy relative who's fucking literally clinically insane. They're easy to spot. They usually have a Trump for President bumper sticker on their fucking vehicle. Again, I'm not really trying to make fun of anybody or put me my personal opinion out there on that. I'm just saying. So, like I said, they bring up the valid point. Oh, and mind you, I gotta say this. The girl who's cleaning out the toaster oven who brings up the fact that it's Halloween and people are out trying to get laid and not so much sitting at home pounding their pud is Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn Smith. And Harley actually is a damn good actress. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, now I kind of want to go out and see his movie Yoga Hosers because he puts his daughter in it. And apparently everybody says that she's a really great actress. And after seeing this, yeah, she is. It's not even a matter of her dad was the one fucking directing the film. Like, you could tell she's good. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if she ends up starting to get more cred than her old man, because fuck. Even though her mom is a damn good, talented writer. You know, again, I'm a Kevin Smith fan, but the daughter's got some shit that the old man don't. That's all I'm saying. So, some shit goes down, sleazebag cam artist, wannabe guy is, telling him that, he's essentially, wanting one of these bitches to fuck him, and I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said there. He's like, I'm gonna make one of you bitches fuck me if you guys ain't got nothing better to do. So, he grabs up the girl in the Lil Bo Peep outfit, and, he's about to rape her when, well, this one I will spoil. They knock him out, and they kind of torture his ass. And that's as far into the spoilers as I'll go. Like, anybody who's seen, like, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, the original, the one from the 70s, what made that movie so scary is that a lot of what happens is actually subtle. You don't really see anybody die. Like, you might hear some noises. Okay, perfect example. One of the dudes comes out of one of the side rooms or something, and Leatherface is standing behind one of the doorways with, like, a curtain drawn. Well, the dude comes out, kind of looks around, and he's like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on with this house? Leatherface rips the curtain open, grabs the dude, bashes his face against the wall, and, like, drags his limp body into the back, like, back behind the curtain, slides the curtain closed, or no, it's not even a curtain, it's like a piece of tin roofing, like, slams it closed, and then, like, you hear some noises, and, like, some faint screams, And it leaves it up to your imagination. So if you get pulled into the movie, like if you're drunk or stoned enough, however you want to enjoy movie, you know, old movies like that, God bless. But like I said, if you can get sucked into the movie and into like the feel of what's going on and the ambiance and everything, and mind you, most of us nowadays are spoiled. Like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre didn't do too much for me because I didn't get sucked in. But I will admit, like, it was kind of creepy and eerie just based off the fact of a lot of what's going on happens in your own mind. Like, if you imagine the dude's, like, getting his face beaten to death with, like, a sledgehammer and Leatherface is taking a hacksaw to him because he's not going to waste the precious gasoline in his fucking chainsaw. They only get a gas delivery at their small-ass gas station, like, once every couple months. Because there's really only a handful of people that live in the community that need to drive anywhere. Like, I don't know. Like I said, it's one of those things where if left to your own imagination, shit gets really creepy. And that's kind of what they were going for. Like, of course they pull a saw and they show you the actual torture and everything, but it really is damn good, like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, the hype that was built up for this from, like, listening to the different, like, Smodcast podcasts that I listen to, which is, you know, a lot of the stuff with Kevin Smith, and, you know, hearing him talk about it, and, like, it really was worth the hype. Like, he wasn't joking. Like, the actor that he got to be the douchebag fucking stable pimp, however, like, cam pimp, however you want to list the motherfucker. Like, that dude literally does play a really good douchebag, and you can tell that, you know, as a guy, the actor is, like, not that person, but you can tell that he could be that person, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it's one of those things where being behind the curtain a lot now, like, seeing how the fucking, the cookies are made, or however you want to fucking put it, like, going back and seeing how they bottle your beer, or, you know, how they fucking make your Oreo cookies, or the process that goes into bottling a Gatorade. Yes, I just shook up my Gatorade, and now it's all foamy. But, like I said, like, seeing that process, it kind of destroys some of the illusion for me. But at the same time, if it's a good enough story, I could still sit back and enjoy it. And holy shit, this one was a fucking good one. I'm not gonna lie. Like I said, the actresses were awesome. All of them are believable. The actor's believable as an asshole douchebag, even though, like I said, I know he's not. Because him and Kev had to drive around for a while, and Kev was telling stories about how he's a really awesome dude. That's what it is. The dude that they got to be the asshole douchebag, he's actually the guy from Epic Mealtime. That's the other fucking reason why it is that it was kind of cool. Like I said, he's literally the dude from fucking Epic Mealtime. I can't think of what his fucking name is right now. Like, you guys can look it up online on IMDb and correct me as need be. But like I said, it's fucking him. So like I said, I know he's a cool motherfucker. So the fact that he comes on and plays a complete and total cocksucker asshole, like, fucking genius. Like, it's just good casting all around. Like, this one, hands down, is one of my one of my two favorites. No, three favorites. Because, again, the Valentine's Day one was pretty fucking awesome. This one was awesome. No, four. I lied. Because the last three are fucking amazing, and Valentine's Day was fucking epic for me. The rest of them are kind of okay. Like, I'm not gonna lie, they're pretty good journeys. And like I said, as a Twilight Zone fan and a fan of horror in general, a lot of these actually are pretty fucking awesome. Now, the next one is a little weird. When it comes down to Christmas, it's the old, be careful what you wish for adage. Seth Green ends up playing a father in which his kid wants the brand new toy that's coming out, and the brand new toy is VR goggles. Now, the VR goggles are automatically hooked up to the internet. Like, they automatically come with its own, like, 4G, 3G, like, well, no, because it's all in high def, it's got to be a 4G, if not some sort of like a weird-ass, like, 5G type of cell phone signal to automatically hook itself into the internet. Because they don't show him programming the shit. Now, don't get me wrong, anytime he uses these VR goggles, technically he is at home, so they could have Wi-Fi set up. But anyway, it's Christmas. You know, he's out trying to get the hot new toy. He calls ahead to the toy shop for these VR goggles, and he shows up to fucking get them, and he's knocking on the door, and there's this guy buying up a pair of VR goggles. Now, he asks the shop owner, hey, you know, like, do you have my goggles? I called you earlier. I said, please put them on reserve. I'd pay you extra money for that. And the dude was like, sorry, man, that guy that just fucking left, he bought the very last one. Should have gotten here earlier, man. First come, first serve. So, of course, in typical fashion, like every parent has ever done, and believe me, this shit sucks. Fuck, this shit sucks. But it's Christmas Eve. He turns to the guy and he goes, look, my kid really wants this. I didn't mean to procrastinate, but, you know, my living situation sucks. Like, just, I'll pay you for him. I'll give you $300 for him. And the dude goes, sorry, dude. My kid wants them just as your kid does, but these are mine. I got them. Should have got out early. And he goes, look. And he opens up his wallet and he pulls out some money and he goes, I'll give you $500 for that $150 to $200 fucking set of VR goggles. And the guy goes, dude, no. Just better luck next time. Go to eBay. Just fucking get him some other way. Well, the guy who was being a dick and was like, fuck you, I got this fair and square, ends up going to his car, falling over, and he's having a heart attack. Now, Seth Green's character picks up his phone to go to, you know, to call 911, but he sees a text from his wife going, did you get it? And he's just like, you know what? This guy's dying. He wanted to be an asshole. Fuck him. So, he takes the VR goggles, leaves the guy on the street to die, goes home, wraps him up, and the wife's talking about her shitty job and how her boss went out of his way to fucking give the Christmas, the holiday bonus to his nephew who didn't even fucking need it because his nephew's already born with a silver spoon up his ass. So she's talking about how their money's going to be extra tight, and she's essentially being just a complete and total cunt. So they go to bed, and you could tell that it's like an unhappy marriage. Like, Tom Green literally has his own side of the bed. She's laying on the very edge of her side of the bed with her back to him. He, like, even, like, leans over and tries to cuddle with him and, like, kisses her neck, and she's like, get the fuck off me, I'm tired. Go to bed. So, clearly the love is gone, the romance is out of the fucking picture. He's essentially at home living the American dream of marry the first person who comes on to you that you feel like you have some sort of connection to, and enjoy the rest of your days being unhappy. That's your average American dream. Very rarely does it actually end up working out, and sadly the problem comes down to a matter of, well, most couples don't do shit together. They actually have nothing in common when it comes right down to it. They have a few things in common when they first get together. But when it comes down to the long term, not so much. Kinda doesn't. That and at the same time, after 2 years, the dopamine levels in your brain start to wear out. So by then, the whole point of, well, the biological process of mating and love, generally, after 2 years, that shit dies out. If it lasts longer than 2 years, shit, you actually have somebody. If it dies out before 2 years, if you're lucky, you made a friend out of it. Kind of awkward that you've seen them naked. And kind of awkward that you've done some stuff with them that, might not be too proud that you let them do or you did to them. But, hey. Who knows? So, Kid gets the VR goggles, and the slogan of the VR goggles is it shows you what you want to see. So the kid puts on the VR goggles, and it transports him to Mars. The kid's on a Mars mission, and because the kid is on a Mars mission, you know, it's like, good job, Commander, you're the first man to set foot on Mars. And the kid's like, dude, this is sweet. Here you go, Dad, check it out. And Seth Green's character goes, I don't know, alright, so am I going to see the same thing? And the kid goes, no, it lets you see whatever it is that you want to see. So he puts them on, and it goes to a kinky dominatrix scene. And he quickly pulls the glasses off, and he's like, huh, well, that's, where's the power button on this? Because, of course, he doesn't want Junior to see kinky dominatrix scene, because, of course, he ain't getting none at home. And mind you, kinky dominatrix scene is more like the girls in, like, leather wrapped up in chains and kind of bound, being like, I'm sorry, punish me as much as you want. I'll never be bad again, please, I'm so sorry, type of thing. So he's like, yeah, type of thing. So once again, it goes back to night, and the wife ain't giving him none. So he decides he's gonna steal up the kid's VR goggles to, watch kinky dominatrix shit. And, well, spoiler free, so, you can pretty much guess what happens here, but, yeah, some, shit goes down, and then some other shit goes down, and then even crazier shit goes down, and, well, let's just say it was a great fucking, oh man, it is such a great short film, it really is. Like, oh my god, is it fucking awesome. But then we go to the final one, which is New Year's. Oh yeah, that's... No, I did for Christmas, the Be Careful What You Wish For, and that type of shit. But, the last one that you get to... Oh, I didn't get to Halloween. Halloween is Don't Be an Asshole. Which essentially should be the only commandment on the, well, no, I take that back, because the only commandment that should be a part of the Ten Commandments is, don't be a cunt. That's rule number one. If you, don't act like an asshole and pretty much just do whatever the fuck you want, just be a normal member of society, you're golden. Shouldn't have to worry about people telling you not to fuck your neighbor's wife while you're married. Don't murder somebody. Don't steal from people. Like, that shit you should just fucking know. It should be programmed. Don't kill. Don't rape. Don't steal. Don't do stupid shit. So essentially, don't be a cunt. Should be the only rule that you should abide your life by. And I'm sorry if the C-bomb bothers some of you people. Just saying. If you would like me to put it in a better way, don't be a dick. Kind of goes back to the old George Carlin joke now that I think about it. Cocksuckers, dependent upon, gender. Cocksucker is a bad man, cocksucker is a good woman. Man, I miss George Carlin. But anyway. And technically, with today's standards, not so much. I mean, again, it all depends upon your sexual preference, but now we're splitting hairs again. So we come to New Year's, and it starts off really amazingly. It's this kind of weird, like, slimy, wormy, like, rat type of looking dude. And he's got this woman, like, tied up, like, bound and gagged to a chair. Like, her hands and her feet are tied to the chair with rope. Her mouth is, like, she's got, like, some sort of, like, stocking or something tied in her mouth as, like, a gag. And the dude has a gun, and he's talking about how, man, I wish things wouldn't have gone so bad, but I really wanted, you know, to kiss the lips of somebody who actually loved me come New Year's when the ball dropped, but clearly that's not gonna happen. So he grabs he's got his gun in his hand and he goes to fire and it fires on an empty chamber. So he goes and he gets some bullets and puts bullets in the gun because he forgot to do that. So you can clearly tell that not everything is correct up top. So he puts a bullet in the gun and he puts it in and he goes to fire and it misfires and he's like, son of a bitch. So he pulls back the hammer again and this time he blows her brains out. And then he cuts to a scene of a woman sitting at home eating yogurt with what looks like fruit inside of it, like whole pieces of like cherries or something. And she's sitting there eating it, watching TV and kind of crying like she just got done with a breakup. And she's looking at a dating website, like an eHarmony type of thing. And dude's picture pops up as a 96% match to what she's looking for. And she goes, huh. Well, can't be as bad as my last boyfriend. So they go out on a date, and dude's kind of being like really, really weird and awkward. And you can clearly tell that she's not down with him being weird and awkward. But she still offers to take him back to her place, so that way then they can watch the ball drop. And well, let's just say some shit goes down, and definitely one of my favorites. It really is. Like I said, this one, the theme of it is, don't always trust the person you're talking to on the internet. Sometimes it's not quite the person that you're thinking that they are. Which kind of sadly goes for here. That's the reason why I constantly am telling you guys, what's going on behind the scenes and giving you guys my own personal view. Because if you don't like me, then you know to skip my shit. And if you start digging on what the fuck I'm saying, then shit. More friends. More people that actually care. Huzzah. So, like I said, that's my thoughts on it. That's a kind of a mini review on it. And I say mini, meanwhile, we're at about the hour and a half mark. For the way I talk, plus all the extra shit. Like contact information and the ending credits. But, like I said, this film is actually pretty damn good. Like I said, it's like an indie film directed by a bunch of different directors. Everybody who directed something also wrote what they were directing. It follows the theme. It also follows a secondary theme, which, sadly, most horror movies actually have. Most people don't actually think about it, but a lot of horror movies actually have two themes to them. Not only is it, you know, blood and guts and shock and awe and gore when it comes down to the slashers, or just shock and awe when it comes down to, like, the old school monster movies. Now, at the same time, the old Universal monster movies, you have to think of the times. Like, it was just black and white movies, and there really wasn't much going on. But at the same time, like, for the time when, if a woman showed off her ankles or her shoulders, like, people would freak out. Like, legitimately throw hissy fits and lose their fucking minds. Like, the old Alfred Hitchcock stuff, like, Psycho. Like, literally, one person gets killed in the entire movie of Psycho. And everybody loses their fucking minds over it. Or, well, everybody did lose their mind over it at the time. They were like, oh my god, this is so ridiculous. How can we allow this to be within our movie theaters? How can this be a part of cinema history? There's a woman who gets murdered in the shower. It's degrading. It's vile. There's just too much to it. It's in black and white. It's vile? Really? It's degrading? Really? Man, you guys really, really should have fucking waited until about the 60s and the 70s. When you could literally go into the fucking drive-in movie theater, if you were old enough to, you could sit in there with your date until late at night, usually about midnight, they'd start, well, no, I take that back, usually about 11 o'clock at night, they would start up the horror movie, which was usually an R-rated movie, and it was always one of, like, movie of the week monster of the week movie fucking shows that they would do, where it'd be like some bullshit, you know, they'd show like a King Kong or a Godzilla or something that was supposed to be like over the top ridiculous, but most of the people that were there weren't paying attention to the movie. They were there for the movie. They were like, oh, well, it's late at night. Fuck it. We'll just sit around here and make out in the back of the car. I snuck some beer in. Don't worry about it. We'll get drunk and fuck in the back of the car. Which, mind you, that's how most of our parents and some of us got here, so can't really say much about that. And then, about 1 o'clock in the morning, in some places, they would show other movies. Most of them were considered independent. Most of them were unrated. If they did have a rating, the rating would be NC-17. There would literally be almost pornographic sex scenes. On top of the almost pornographic sex scenes, there would always be tons of, like, gore and violence for the time. And, that's how a lot of people got to see, Evil Dead when it first came out, was in the movie theaters at 1 o'clock in the morning if they stayed for the entire fucking thing. And they would get to see, all the crazy shit that happened in Evil Dead. And mind you, with today's standards, Evil Dead is tame. Think about all the other fucking movies that have been out that are horror movies. You know what I mean? So, like I said, this isn't supposed to be a review, but when it comes right down to it, I would highly recommend this movie. Like, highly, highly, highly recommend this movie. If I actually did have to give this movie a rating, it would get a 4.2 out of 5. Like, this movie is damn good. Like, damn good. Like I said, it's a fucking indie film where they got a bunch of directors to not only write, but direct it. You know, they went out of their ways to cast the movie themselves as well, a lot of the times. I mean, mind you, they still have the normal casting agents that they have to go through those channels, but you know what I mean. They're still a part of the casting process, and they get people to come down and, you know, help them shoot the film. You know, a lot of the premises are, well, like I said, most of them are a little ridiculous. But at the same time, when it comes right down to it, if you are a fan of the horror genre, and my apologies there for stopping that, the roommate's cat is freaking out because I forgot to feed her. And no, it's not like that's my responsibility or nothing, but the roommate isn't home, so I try to help her take care of her cat as I can, because I'm not an asshole, I'm not going to let an animal starve. Well, other than myself, but that's something completely different. It's because I'm broke. But like I said, when it comes right down to it, this movie is damn fucking good. It's an indie film, like, it works. Like I said, some of the premises are a little over the top, even for me, and I like, really weird type of shit when it comes right down to it. Like, sometimes the weirder it is, the better it is. I mean, again, it all kind of does depend on what's going on, but like I said, sometimes for me, the weirder it is, the better it is. But at the same time, when it comes right down to it, it hits all the normal tropes that you need in a horror movie. There's tits, there's blood, there's guts, there's gore, there's violence. They leave shit up to your imagination at times. A lot of the stories have really good premises. In the time it took you to listen to this, you could have watched this movie. Like, that's all I'm going to say. If you have time, or if you had the time to sit and listen to me, you really could have gotten off your ass, gone to Netflix, gone to iTunes, gone to Google Play, gotten on any of the millions of devices out there that offer video on demand, you know, gotten it off your fucking cable subscription. Yes, you would have to pay for it, but compared to some of the other shit people out there have paid for, like UFC fights where they've paid $50 so they can watch, you know, two matches that they actually gave a shit about, and the matches ended, and literally, like, 10-15 seconds because I've seen the replays off of fucking Facebook where people are like, I paid $50 for this shit, I should have just fucking waited until it came out on fucking YouTube and Facebook. And I'm like, ha ha, I just got to watch this motherfucker get knocked the fuck out for absolutely free. Thank you, Facebook. But, like I said, like, you owe it to yourself. If you are a fan of the horror genre as a whole, like, completely, I don't care if you're only into, like, the old school stuff, I don't care if you're only into, like, the slasher films, I don't care if you're just a fan of, like, the Twilight Zone, or even Tales from the Crypt, because a lot of this is kind of like Tales from the Crypty. Like, I know M. Night Shyamalan is supposed to be doing, like, the first episode of Tales from the Crypt, and the only reason why they got him to do it is so they can bring it back. But the problem I have with that is they're not taking it to HBO, and the way HBO is, there's so much more shit that they could get away with. Those old comics, and yes, comics. Tales from the Crypt was based off comic books. And the way that some of those comics ran, there was a lot of them that were actually pretty decent from what I hear, that they couldn't pull off. Simply because even though it was HBO, there were still, quote, standards that they had to hold up to. Now I can turn on any fucking cable network, and so long as I tune in at the correct time, they can show me titties on my TV. And this is cable. Okay? Yes, I still have to pay for cable so I can watch Comedy Central or fucking Cartoon Network, even though fuck Cartoon Network anymore. Or fucking Disney XD so I can keep up with, you know, my fucking Spider-Man and Avengers cartoons. Or fucking Nickelodeon so I can watch Turtles. Or fucking TBS so I can watch reruns of Family Guy. Or fucking USA so I can watch reruns of NCIS, even though I own every fucking season of NCIS. In fact, I think I own two copies of season 11 because my dumbass thought that it was season 12, but I was like, fuck it. Even if I have another copy of it, oh well, I at least have a backup in case some shit goes down because I did like season 11. So, like I said, like, the fact that they're putting it on TNT, it means that once again, they're not going to be able to keep up with the way that the comic books went. But this movie feels like it was some of the old comic books that Tales from the Crypt was based off of. So if you're a fan of Tales from the Crypt, you owe it to yourself to fucking watch this movie. If you're a fan of The Twilight Zone, you owe it to yourself to watch this movie. If you love Freddy, Jason, Michael, Chucky, any of the slashers, you owe it to yourself to watch this fucking movie. Do I have to come through this fucking cell phone or computer that you're fucking listening to this on and beat you over the head with the hammer? Watch this movie. Oh my God, is it awesome. Like, I've seen movies here in the last couple years that, like, yes, they were good, but, like, genre-wise, they, like, sucked. And I'm talking for horror. Like, I don't know how many times or how many ways I can say this. Watch this movie. It's that good. But now, if you'll excuse me, it's almost 3:00 in the morning. I have to go to bed so I can be up at noon. So over on the Jabba Wrestling Corner, Scotty and I can review a couple more pay-per-views. So that should tell you everything you need to know about what's going on with me right now. I'm going to leave it up to Bill to once again tell you, go to the website and watch our shit, because Bill's got to do it.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.